Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. There's a winter weather wallop gathering up to hit much of the nation. The latest from CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
On Friday, we have a potential for severe weather in places like St. Louis, central and southern Illinois, down to Memphis, and then even potentially into northern parts of Mississippi and Louisiana. As we move into Saturday, the storm system gets energized by even more Gulf moisture, and so it's places from New Orleans all the way up to Atlanta that could be seeing the risk of tornadoes. And then it keeps itself together. So by the time we get to Sunday, we're looking at a severe weather threat up the entire eastern seaboard.
A judge says Mahmoud Khalil will remain detained until at least next week, but can finally speak to his lawyers. They're fighting Trump administration plans to deport the Columbia University student for his role in campus protests against Israel. CBS's Katrina Kaufman.
Mahmoud Khalil is currently in an ICE detention center in Louisiana that he was transferred to. I've been told it's also notorious for its abuses of immigrants who are detained there.
Connecticut police arrested a woman accused of imprisoning her stepson in their Waterbury home for more than 20 years. They say the 32-year-old victim started a fire in the house in an escape effort. More from WFSB-TV reporter Amanda Callahan.
The arrest warrant details the horrific conditions that this man told police he endured. When he was taken to the hospital, he only weighed about 68 pounds. He told police he would be given only 2 cups of water a day, was locked in his room 22 to 24 hours a day. He was only allowed out to do chores for his stepmother, at most getting 1 minute of time outside to let the dog out.
Russia says it downed 77 Ukrainian drones overnight, mostly in border regions. This, as CBS's Holly Williams reports, Ukraine and the U.S. are waiting for Russian President Putin's reaction to their proposal for ceasefire talks.
In Moscow, a Russian presidential spokesman said that they are closely studying the statements that came out of that meeting in Saudi Arabia. That is a very cautious response from the Russian side. President Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, is expected to travel to Russia later on this week for meetings.
The four astronauts on board a Falcon rocket at the Kennedy Space Center, ready for a trip to the International Space Station, didn't get to hear the 10-9-8-7 countdown to launch last night. Instead, they got this.
Dragon SpaceX hatches open, so we'll be handing you off to the closeout team for egress. Sorry we couldn't get you off today, but we'll speak to you soon and look forward to trying it again.
If you think they're disappointed, imagine Butch Whitmore and Suni Williams stuck in the ISS for 9 months waiting for a capsule to take them home. The next launch attempt may come on Friday. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, inviting you to join me for The Kitchen's Open, the show within the show, each Monday morning at 9 a.m. on The Morning Show on WFHR.
Packer players moving on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL Free Agency. Two Packer players have signed with other teams. Center Josh Myers, a one-year contract with the Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon joins the Eagles, also a one-year deal. Men's college basketball, the Badgers taking on Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament. Marquette against Xavier in the Big East tourney. In Madison, Sarah Williams says she's entering a transfer portal after 3 years on the Wisconsin women's basketball team. NBA Bucks basketball tonight. They host the LA Lakers. And Shaquille O'Neal had this to say about former Bucks player and business mentor Junior Bridgman, who died on Tuesday.
Yeah, this one really hit hard for me. They always tell us stories about how 75% of athletes 0 to 5 years after they're done playing go broke. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I've patterned my whole business acumen after Junior Bridgman. This one hurts a lot.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eric Stone Street is expanding his acting talents. The hilarious and Emmy-winning Stone Street, who played Cam on Modern Family for 9 seasons, has agreed to a role on Dexter. Stone Street will play Dexter's estranged brother, who he was separated from at a young age. You can catch Eric Stone Street on Dexter Sunday nights on Showtime. Hate speech and toxic social media users had to take a powder this past Monday when Twitter, also referred to as X, experienced outages, leaving anonymous users and bots with nowhere to spew their disinformation. Angry young men who hide behind avatars and fake screen IDs probably experienced calm for the first time in the last few years. Better a Twitter malfunction than a Cybertruck. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy with light winds for the overnight as temperatures drop to near 30 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, lower 60s. We'll see some clouds rolling in Thursday night. Lower 70s Friday and breezy with rain chances Friday night. It's 30 at our studios.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
How are the Trump policies going to affect agriculture? We'll find out with Zachiel Torres-Small, who was the Deputy Secretary of Agriculture in the Biden administration.
Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same as yesterday, and the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same as it was yesterday.
And it's going to preserve jobs. So stop with the tariffs. It's the leverage that we need to protect
them.
No. I'm glad he did what he did with Canada because
you have enough money to survive.
No, that's not the point. Look, it's going to float all boats. Come on, Jessica.
Really?
Janine Pirro on tariffs from Fox News yesterday. Of course, Judge Jeanine is worth $85 million.
Oh, she's got private island money.
She's okay.
She's great.
She'll be fine.
She can afford another dozen eggs.
She's not watching the stock market. No matter what the stock market does, I think she'll be okay. Yes, we have a very busy show coming up for you today. Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news, the April 1st election rapidly approaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important you be a voter. I know everyone's exhausted. I know I'm exhausted by all of the ads that are being run on television. It is still remarkably important that you vote. So if you have not registered, if you're not sure if you're registered, if you're not sure what's on the ballot, you can answer all those questions. Mm-hmm. Go to myvote.wy.gov, myvote.wy.gov. All you have to do is put in your address and everything related to the April 1st election, including where you need to go vote, mm-hmm. what is on the ballot. All of those things will come up for you. Check it out, myvote.wy.gov. Again, Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters joining us after 10:33. We're going to talk once again about the SAVE Act.
Yes.
Which we did talk about before the presidential election. Mm-hmm. And with everything else, there's been a couple things going on. This kind of got pushed into the background.
Yeah.
But I think it's very important, especially if you are a married woman, to understand what this will mean if the SAVE Act passes. So Deb Cronmiller will be here after the 10:30 news. Next hour, after the 11 o'clock news, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here.
Yes.
That measles outbreak continues in Texas. And our Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr.
Bob Jr.
Bob Jr. just thinks everybody should just get measles. That's the best way. Marjorie Taylor Greene suggested that we have measles parties.
Remember when COVID was happening and we were trying to, like, get herd immunity through vaccination and whatnot. Now they're just like, hey, let's do the opposite. Let's do dead herd immunity. Just everyone, the measles, come over to my house, bring a glass of wine, bring a game that requires touching like Twister, and let's just have at it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk to Dr. Lierley about measles and how serious this is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like me, I got my measles vaccination a long time ago. I had measles when I was a sophomore in high school. We're going to talk about whether or not we need boosters, what the status is of that. If you ever have a question for Dr. Lyerly, by the way, please send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Wrapping up the show, 11:30, we're going to talk about this, and this spurred something I heard listening to Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio on the way in this morning, talking about Batman.
Batman.
Batman, the TV show, debuted on this date in 1966. So at 11:33, we want to know, what old TV show do you miss?
Okay.
There's so much to choose from.
I already have one.
Yeah. So start thinking about that. What old TV show do you miss? That'll be at 11:33, and then we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, as always, It Floats, Trust Me Edition. It's a good one. You may want to stick around for that. We did start off the show, of course, talking about Jeannie Pirro on Fox News, talking about how these tariffs are great.
Yep, they're great.
This is the greatest thing. And again, Jeannie Pirro is worth $85 million. So no matter what happens with the economy, I'm pretty sure she's going to be okay. Most of us, I think, are not in the position of having $85 million.
I currently do not have $85 million.
You do not?
No, I do not.
What a shame you didn't work harder, Greg.
I know. I'm lazy. Yeah. Full of empathy and just laziness.
But we do have someone in Wisconsin who has concerns.
Who is that?
It's like our own Susan Collins.
Oh, grand.
Ron Johnson from Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ron Johnson says he has a lot of concerns over Trump's tariffs and the impacts on Wisconsin. Ron Johnson telling the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, obviously we're a manufacturing state. I'd be concerned about retaliation against those manufacturers. I'm concerned about them losing overseas markets. I'm concerned about the cost to builders. I'm concerned about retaliation against our farmers. There are a lot of concerns. Let me count them. One, two, three. There are four concerns. And he's really concerned.
He is like four, he's like super concerned, almost like all caps concerned. I wonder if it'll keep him from voting certain ways then. I wonder if that means he'll side with manufacturers, business people, individuals like that here in Wisconsin.
I have a feeling no.
Okay. All right. Well,
Ron is worth $54 million.
That it?
I know.
I thought he was
of the richest senators in the United States. Ron Johnson ranks eighth. How embarrassing.
Loser.
Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma is better than Ron Johnson. Come on,
well,
Rojo.
He's got three names.
Rojo, work harder.
Yeah.
Work smarter. Let's get you up on that list a little bit.
Put that concern aside because we know you're not going to do anything about it. And, you know, make more money.
Wisconsin consumers and businesses expected to feel the impacts of the tariffs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Raising prices on everything from produce to fuel to building materials. As we've mentioned, Canada and Mexico are Wisconsin's two largest trading partners. They bring in a combined $25 billion in cross-border trade in 2023. China is Wisconsin's third largest trading partner. However, again, this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, a number of Wisconsin Republicans defending the tariffs during his speech when Trump announced plans for these reciprocal tariffs. Ron Johnson and all the other Wisconsin lawmakers applauded. Scott Fitzgerald.
Who?
Who was actually seen in the wild a couple of weeks ago. That's never going to happen again.
I know.
Scott Fitzgerald said in a statement that he trusts Trump's tariff negotiations will ultimately benefit American citizens, workers, and businesses.
That's a long con statement. It's like, ultimately, maybe 100 years down the road, we're supposed to endure 2 years of pain.
That's what Elon said.
That's what Elon says. 2 years of pain. I just think the way that the stock market has crashed, the way the confidence has gone down, it's going to be a lot longer than 2 years if he keeps doing this stuff.
I would think you're right.
Yeah.
Yes, we're talking about the tariffs. Tom Tiffany checking in. Suggested that the president is selectively using tariffs as a negotiating tactic. Tiffany posting on Twitter, The cost of past trade deals have been too high for too many American workers for too long. Reciprocal tariffs will change that by making trade fair again.
No.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Donald Trump was first elected the first time around, he got rid of the NAFTA agreement.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
And then he renegotiated an agreement with Canada and Mexico. And again, if I'm wrong about this, please let me know. 855-752-4842. So he's renegotiating the deal that he negotiated.
Because I guess it's just not good enough anymore. It's just not. Oh, God.
Glenn Grothman also checking in.
Oh, grand. Great.
There are some countries taking advantage of the U.S., but he says lawmakers have to make sure these tariffs don't go overboard. Obviously, trade wars are expensive for everybody, but there's probably some countries taking advantage of us. Hopefully, President Trump will show urgency in wrapping this up. So far, when Trump adds tariffs, he usually winds up removing them or reducing them in the near future. We'll just have to see how this one goes. Or he increases it, and then a couple hours later says, no, I'm not going to do that. And then a couple hours later, he comes back and says, no, I'm going to double what I said I was going to do. And then, it's kind of up and down with the very stable genius.
I do not know where we're at tariffs-wise, not because I'm not up on the news, because it changes every day.
It does.
I mean, there are
It changes during the same day.
Yeah, so that is not a key point of strength for the president. If you're going to enact tariffs, do it. Stick to it. We all have to go through this together, whether we like it or not. But as you've said before, this uncertainty
is terrible.
It's terrible for everybody. It's not good for anyone, in whether it's Wisconsin or the nation. And the markets are showing that fact. The confidence of the people, the polling is going down for the president, as well as Elon Musk, who's polling worse than the president right now.
But you know, you can get one of his cars for only $35,000.
Oh, thank goodness. All I have to do is go to the D.C., the D.C. dealership. It's at the White House.
Exactly. You know where to find that dealership. Also, Donald Trump's Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, said yesterday, Trump's tariffs will be worth it even if it means a recession, folks. So even if there's a recession, it's all good. It's all good. Howard Lutnick, too, I'm fairly certain, has a pretty nice nest egg, so you know, if the economy tanks, they're all going to be fine.
They're all going to have their own private islands. We're going to be the one who are going to be suffering for as long as they see fit, period. He's worth $806 million.
Howard Lutnick?
Yeah.
Well, he's struggling. He needs a tax cut, Greg.
He's not a billionaire, Jane.
He needs a tax cut. Back to Ron Johnson, Wisconsin senior senator. He did point to the U.S. stock market, which has tumbled. Yeah. In the wake of the tariff announcements, quote, well, look what happened to the market, Johnson said. That concerns me. He's very concerned. So now I can sleep.
Right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is sitting currently at 41,089 points. That is down 344 points. It is heading towards under 40,000, which...
It's all fine.
Well, it'll be a reset. But guys, we'll just hold hands.
Yeah, it's all going to... We'll sing together. It'll be fine. Brad Schimmel knows who he's going to be working for if he makes it up on the state Supreme Court. We'll kick that around next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio.
A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing Bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning, welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our resident young person, Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just quickly, if you are considering a job change. Maybe you'd like a new challenge. You'd like an opportunity to learn some new skills.
Ooh.
Civic Media is expanding, and we have job openings for producers and reporters and sales reps. If you would like to check it out, just go to our website, civicmedia.us/careers, and take a look at some of the jobs that Civic Media has to offer. It's a wonderful company. We have good benefits. We have great benefits, actually. Yeah. And it's a great place to work. I say this from experience. So check it out at civicmedia.us/careers. If you or someone you know is looking for a job change, looking to get, always wanted to get into radio,
yeah,
this might be your chance. civicmedia.us/careers. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Wisconsin senior senator, $54 million worth, Ron Johnson. He's concerned. About the tariffs. He's concerned, everybody, so don't worry. He's got it covered.
He's concerned. He ain't going to do anything.
Ollie from the North Woods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about Ron Johnson?
Well, I heard you talking about Ron Johnson and reading out his concerns. And I noticed that in each one of his concerns, he brings up the point about retaliation. That sounds more like a veiled threat, a reminder to anybody who speaks out against the Republicans that they face retaliation. It sounds more like he's warning people to keep quiet rather than be concerned about what's going on with them.
You're not wrong, Ollie. Thank you. I mean, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow with Jim Santel,
yeah,
about the Trump administration squashing speech they don't like. And they are approaching this in all kinds of different ways. If you say something out loud, if you represent a client they don't like as a law firm, the Trump administration is going to come after you. That seems, I don't know, what would be the word? Un-American.
Un-American, culty, weird, all the red flags.
In the time that we have remaining before we go to the news, it's important, I think, to point this out. New article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Daniel Bice. At least now we know if Brad Schimmel gets elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, who he's going to be working for. New Musk mailer says Brad Schimmel will support President Trump's agenda from the bench.
What?
Good to know. Conservative Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel will not only interpret the law as a member of the state Supreme Court, he will also be President Donald Trump's bestie on the bench. This is from a new mailer by a super PAC from Elon Musk. Quote, conservative Brad Schimmel will support President Trump's agenda. Together we won the White House. Now it's time to win the courthouse. I'm not the smartest person in the room. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I didn't think that that was the role of a Wisconsin Supreme Court justice, was to be working for the current administration.
No, they're supposed to be looking at cases, as some would say, a case-by-case basis. Measuring all of the information, all the discovery, and then going forth and issuing an order. And that order is either upholding the law, sending it back down, deeming it unconstitutional. I don't sit on the Supreme Court of a state or the country, but I know what they are supposed to do. And let's see here. This was last month, February 19th. Brad Schimmel says he's not for sale after Elon Musk group drops $1.5 million in race.
Oh, it's almost up to $10 million now.
Yeah, $10 million.
Elon's spending a lot of money to get his guy in the court.
Yes, and you can do your best by saying, no, we did this to Eric Hovde, we did this to Tim Michaels. Just because you're big business doesn't mean you get to run what happens here in this state. And if Brad Schimmel is going to enforce the will of the current president on us, even though that is not the will of the people,
that's what he's going to do.
I just don't see why we should be. Why? First of all, I don't even see why he can be a candidate at this point. I mean, this seems so wrought with like conflict of interest and all these problems. But on the 19th of February, Brad Schimmel says he's not for sale. Well, I guess he can take that sign off because he can put a little thing that says sold.
For rent?
No, sold.
Sold?
Sold. He's not for sale anymore because he's already sold to Elon Musk and all his buddies and Donald Trump.
And we're not making this up. These are flyers, and I think I just got one.
I got one in my house, too.
And they're big ones, too.
Oh, mine was a little door hanger that said, you can't let liberal justice... Susan Crawford, and then, you know, and then on the other side, it's Donald Trump with a big thumbs up saying,
just keep this in mind.
Yeah.
As we prepare to go at the polls on April 1st and you cast a ballot for either Susan Crawford or Brad Schimmel, Brad Schimmel has admitted if he gets this spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he will not be ruling independently. He will be ruling in order to support Donald Trump. Again, I didn't realize that was in the job description.
No, neither did I.
I thought you were supposed to be an independent jurist.
You would think so.
We can talk more about this with an actual lawyer, Jim Santel, when he joins us tomorrow. And we can talk about this with Deb Cronmiller.
Oh, yeah. Who's coming up next?
She is coming up next from the League of Women Voters. But share what you know.
Yes.
There are still a lot of people from a recent poll that came out from Marquette Law School. A lot of folks have no opinion yet.
Nope.
On either Brad Schimmel or Susan Crawford,
but an overwhelming group of those individuals polled know that that race is important,
right? But they just don't know anything about the candidates.
That's a scary place to be. So share what you know.
Share what you know. And again, we're not making this up. It's on the flyers. Brad Schimmel will be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to help support the Trump agenda. Cast your ballot accordingly.
Yeah.
That's what you want. Go for it. I don't think you should do that. Okay. News is coming up next. When we return, Deb Cronmiller will be here from the League of Women Voters. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. In Waterbury, Connecticut, a 32-year-old man says he was held captive for more than 20 years by stepmother Kimberly Sullivan, now under arrest after a fire.
On February 17th, the Waterbury Fire Department was called to a house on Blake Street. Two people were home at the time, Sullivan and the victim. The victim told first responders he believed starting this fire was the only way out of this situation.
WFSB-TV's Amanda Callahan. European Union nations are levying retaliatory tariffs against U.S. goods, but President Trump says he's not concerned.
We have been abused really for a long time, and we will be abused no longer.
The EPA's budget is being slashed.
Originally, Trump and Zeldin had come out and said that they will reduce the EPA's budget by 65%, and Zeldin doubled down on that. He says that, you know, the budget of the EPA last year was $60 billion. He believes he can run the EPA at 35% of that budget. Wow. I think that will be incredibly difficult.
CBS's Tracy Wolf. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Packer players moving on. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL Free Agency. Two Packer players have signed with other teams. Center Josh Myers, a one-year contract with the Jets. Running back A.J. Dillon joins the Eagles, also a one-year deal. Men's college basketball, the Badgers taking on Northwestern today in the Big Ten tournament. Marquette against Xavier in the Big East tourney. In Madison, Sarah Williams says she's entering a transfer portal after 3 years on the Wisconsin women's basketball team. NBA Bucks basketball tonight. They host the LA Lakers. And Shaquille O'Neal had this to say about former Bucks player and business mentor Junior Bridgman, who died on Tuesday.
Yeah, this one really hit hard for me. They always tell us stories about how 75% of athletes 0 to 5 years after they're done playing go broke. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but I've patterned my whole business acumen after Junior Bridgman. This one hurts a lot.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Dolly Parton told Oprah Winfrey that she thought she would be a great mother. Parton elaborated, saying she and her recently deceased husband, Carl Thomas Dean, ultimately decided not to have kids because Parton wanted the freedom to pursue her career and be a mother to all children. That is so Dolly Parton. Parton said at one point they even had a name picked out if they had a girl, but decided against it. I'm guessing it was Dolly Jr.? Billy Joel is putting his health before his tour. The 75-year-old music icon has wisely chosen to postpone working the road so he can rehab after a recent medical procedure. Joel's camp says he will take 4 months away from performing to get his health back. Joel expects to make a full recovery and will resume his tour in Pittsburgh on July 5th of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly cloudy with light winds for the overnight as temperatures drop to near 30 degrees. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies, lower 60s. We'll see some clouds rolling in Thursday night. Lower 70s Friday and breezy with rain chances Friday night. It's 30 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we'll be joined by Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, to talk about the people versus Elon Musk, our billionaire overlord. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, the board lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. The Wisconsin Supreme Court election, April 1st, is going to impact our economy, reproductive rights, public education, and more. You can join the Protecting Justice for All event. It's happening tonight at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, featuring expert panels and a debate watch party, because Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel will be debating tonight. If you would like more details about this, you can also register to sign up at upnorthnewswi.com/supreme. And if you're not going to be a Rutby in Madison and you can't make it, you can listen to the entire program across Civic Media from 5 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. Across the Civic Media radio network. Again, the April election is April 1st, just a couple of weeks away. One of the main reasons why we have our next guest, Deb Cronmiller, is here from the League of Women Voters. Good morning, Deb. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. We were talking right before you joined us about a particular Supreme Court candidate in Wisconsin, and I'm not trying to make this partisan, but I find it interesting that now it was my understanding, Deb, that Supreme Court justices, even on the state level, are supposed to be impartial. They're supposed to be impartial jurists who are not coming in with an agenda of the current administration. And yet now we have one candidate who said, you elect me to the Supreme Court and I'm going to do what the Trump administration wants. That seems like a new step, shall we say.
That is new and odd, I think, for all of us who, read and believe in the Constitution of the United States. The founders obviously had a strategy for how to keep our government going, this, Democratic Republic that we have, if you can keep it. And one of the strategies was that we would have two branches of government, the executive and the legislative, that would be partisan. And then we would have this third equal branch of government, our courts, our judiciary, that would be independent. And their job essentially is to kind of police the other two branches. Yep. To make sure that we're not off the rails, that the other two branches of government, the politicized branches of government on purpose, would be following the laws, or in the case of the legislature, making the laws, and then in the executive, not to overreach or over grab power, and so all three branches were intended to be equal, and all three branches were intended to have a very specific purpose in what is governance of our nation and our state. And I do think that and it's hard not to, I guess, in this world that we live in today, different from the world of our founders, obviously. But when we have money interests coming in on both candidates' sides,
yes,
that probably is going to exceed $70 million in the state of Wisconsin. When you hear $70 million and you hear the word independent branch of government, I think the average person likely says to themselves, okay, $70 million. I mean, how do I stay independent when that much money has come to support me or oppose me? And that's the problem. And that's why the League of Women Voters for years and years and years has held a position that would take money out of politics. We believe in a campaign finance system that would be more fair and equal and equalizing. In today's world, again, despite our founders' good intentions, not everybody can run for office because they're not independently wealthy.
Yeah.
Or they don't know the inroads to get to the money. And without the money, you can't sit, in a seat that's an elected seat, and which is really a shame. And I think that this conversation, so many conversations that are happening in the state and in the nation around money and politics, I think we're seeing what money reaps. And I don't think everybody's happy with the consequences of so much money in what is our political system.
Well, and as you said, Deb, when the founders set up our system of government, the judiciary was independent in order to, as you said, kind of police the executive and the legislative, just to make sure they're not doing naughty things. And they're supposed to be independent. And that doesn't seem to be the case anymore, especially now when we have one person running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court who says, yep, I'm going to be here for a rubber stamp for the administration. That seems bad to me.
Yeah, and I think that those were the same accusations that were floated in 23 when one of the candidates was very clear about her values. And people thought, well, then she's already predisposed. She's not going to hear the evidence. She's not going to hear the case as it's presented to the Supreme Court. And, you know, I think that gets us back to Supreme Court 101. Our Supreme Court, like our appellate courts, looks at the lower court evidence, the research that's been done, the why certain decisions have been made based on law or constitution at those lower courts to decide, you know, essentially, was that the right decision? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we've got courts all over the nation now that are taking cases on where they're the first court to hear the evidence. And that's not what the intention of the Supreme Court was. It was certainly not the intention of how the whole court system works. And there needs to be some, I think, education about why the process of what our judicial system is supposed to do is so important, so that these lower courts are actually doing that important research, so that a Supreme Court has a body of evidence that they're looking at to weigh in on whether those lower courts have done the the right work in making the decisions they've made.
That's so important, what you just pointed out. The Supreme Court is supposed to be the last stop through the court system, right? You're supposed to go through, as you said, all the lower courts and have judgments made on this argument, and then ultimately it works its way up to the Supreme Court. But that's not the way it is anymore. Now it's like plaintiffs are looking for an opening to directly bring the case in front of the Supreme Court, as you said, without any of these earlier decisions.
It almost seems like those lower courts are formalities now.
Well, and I think that, you know, we have a legislature here in Wisconsin that's actually trying to make up or reconfigure some of the lower courts. Again, it's, you know, if we stay within kind of the old-fashioned rules, you know, I think that some of this questioning of the impartiality of the courts, of the judgments that are being made, of the process that's being used, you know, in Wisconsin and at the national Supreme Court level, there's no ethical standard that these judges are being held to. Mm-hmm. So imagine everyone's surprise when they hear that, you know, a very significant case is being taken by the Supreme Court as the original court that's going to hear, you know, the case. That's not normal. That's kind of outside of the realm of what is normal. And it's also not normal, I think, when people hear that so many of our U.S. justices are, you know, accepting large gifts from donors and or high net worth individuals who own companies, who have influence in spaces, in the same spaces that the court might be hearing cases about. And again, I think the thinking person says to themselves, oh, well, maybe that's influencing their decision as they hear that body of evidence, or as they look at evidence that maybe another lower court had looked at. And these are legitimate questions to be asking And I think the response is, let's instate judicial ethical standards. Let's make sure that all our judges are playing by the same rules. In Wisconsin, our Supreme Court actually has authority over all the lower courts, the judges, the ethical standards to which they hold themselves. Yet our Supreme Court, as you know, years ago, the league asked them to instate ethical standards. And they basically responded with, no. We're the highest court in Wisconsin. Of course, we'll obtain, you know, we'll maintain these high ethical standards. Well, that was a long time ago. And in the course of a decade and a half, you know, we've seen court races go from being, you know, hundreds of thousands total investment in electing a Supreme Court justice to, you know, what could be in excess of $70 million. Times have changed. We need different rules now because of that. And those are the discussions I think should be happening. We shouldn't be having a discussion about if you hear this case, because that should be an off-limits question, you know, to begin with. But rather, what will you do to ensure the impartiality of the court in Wisconsin, in the United States? These are the questions we should be asking.
If you're just joining us, Deb Cronmiller is our guest from the League of Women Voters, and we're talking about the spring election coming up in Wisconsin on April 1st. It is very, very important that everyone be a voter. Go to myvote.wy.gov. Make sure you're registered. If you're not, there's ways you can rectify that. That all you have to do is put in your address. It's super easy. Yep. Myvote.wy.gov. It really is remarkable to me, Deb, that no one screamed and that we're still not collectively screaming about, you know what, I'm going to issue my own set of ethics rules, and then I'm going to enforce those rules on myself because I'm trustworthy and you should just trust me. What other business or any entity would we give that much power to? Just trust us. We'll make our own rules and we'll police ourselves. It's all going to be good. Don't worry about us.
You know, on its surface, Jane, that really sounds so sensical. But for, you know, hundreds of years, our justices have held themselves to that high standard. But for hundreds of years, we haven't had money influencing every single decision that's being made, whether that's by the executive branch, the legislative branch, and now the judicial branch. And so we do need a different set in this time of rules. And even when this money wasn't so pervasive, the league thought the Supreme Court in the United or in the Wisconsin should have standards. But at the time when they said we don't need standards because we are of high integrity, you know, I didn't like that decision, but at least I believed it. Yeah. And it's harder for me today to believe it.
We can thank John Roberts and the Roberts Court for Citizens United deciding that money is speech, everybody. It's all good. The more money you have, the more speech you're entitled to.
Well, and I want to say something really quick is that, you know, there's no, people are going to donate money. They have the right to do that because of Citizens United. And it's not a matter, to me, it's not a matter of the people you're getting it from. It's if you're saying you're going to align your decisions with a certain ideology and a certain group of individuals. You know, if you are Susan Crawford and you're getting a lot of money from whomever, if she comes out and says, well, George Soros, because that's who they love to talk about, that's my guy, there's a problem there. And I have a problem with that, but she's not doing it. The other guy is saying he's going to do it. So that's where it's making me worried.
We're going to continue our conversation with Deb Cronmiller. Deb, when we come back, I want to talk about the SAVE Act and what this will mean, could mean, for particularly married women. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Tell me who.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the It Floats, Trust Me edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. Please use that same address if you have something going on in your community, no matter where you are across Wisconsin, that you would like us to highlight. Maybe there's a fundraiser for something. There's a guest you think we should have. Send it in to janesays and all your complaints to. We make sure Calvin sees them, so yeah, that's all good.
Absolutely.
Deb Kronmiller is our guest from the League of Women Voters, and we were talking about the April 1st election just a couple of weeks away. The school superintendent race is on the same ballot, along with the open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Something else, though, I wanted to move on with the time we have left, Deb, is the SAVE Act, which we talked about before the presidential election. The SAVE Act is part of Project 2025, which, as we see now, is being instituted by the Trump administration. And there's this one part in the SAVE Act, which, again, is ostensibly about ballot security and voter security. But in many ways, it's just about making it harder for certain groups of people to vote. And the SAVE Act, if enacted, will really affect married women. Can you explain how that would work, please?
Sure. Well, with the SAVE Act, if been brought into law, every citizen would be forced to produce documents that, you know, kind of confirm that they are, in fact, a citizen of the United States. Now, you know, the League is opposed to the SAVE Act. We were opposed to the constitutional amendment in November, which was also a citizenship test kind of amendment for here in Wisconsin. And we oppose it because it is, as you were inferring, a voter suppression technique. There's one, no problem here that we need to solve to begin with.
Yep. It's already solution. Illegal. It's a solution in search of a problem.
Right. There, you know, it's already illegal for a non-citizen to vote in any election in the United States. And, well, with some exceptions in local municipalities, but the, there, you know, at the state level and the federal level, you must be a citizen to vote.
Right.
And this system has worked pretty flawlessly for all these years, because it is a felony for a non-citizen to cast a ballot. And I don't know about you, but if you know non-citizens, you know one of their greatest fears is that they would be called on the carpet criminally for anything here in the United States.
Yep.
So it's not like there was this mass citizen non-voting thing that was happening. It never did happen, never will happen, and we don't need the SAVE Act. But because it's requiring every citizen to produce the citizenship documentation, and the documents that they're allowing, you know, are the usual suspects, you know, so a birth certificate, mm-hmm. a passport, you know, and despite the fact that Congress knows, you know, 50% of U.S. citizens do not have a passport. Women, married women, the name on their birth certificate might very well be different than the name they are going by now because they've taken their husband's surname. I don't know if these were unintended consequences or intended consequences, but the reality is this is going to cause an obstacle for people who are eligible to vote and have been eligible to vote, have been voting, for them to have to go through now an additional step to ensure that they have proven their eligibility. When before the SAVE Act, before the constitutional amendment, our citizenship was something that we got to say, I am one of those. You know, I know I was born here in the United States. I know I am a citizen, and I am affirming that. And if I'm lying to you, that is a felony.
Well, and I think it's important, again, this is a solution in search of a problem. There is no evidence, and there never has been any evidence, of widespread voter fraud. You don't trust me? Ask Robin Voss. Mm-hmm. Ask Michael Gableman, who spent $2 million of our money searching for voter fraud, which he never found. There is no evidence of widespread voter fraud in this country. This is all manufactured, as you said, Deb, to make it more difficult for people to vote and for married women who didn't go to the court to have their name changed when they got married. If this passes, you're going to have problems. There will be problems for you trying to cast your ballot.
Absolutely. And in addition to the actual nuts and bolts problems that the SAVE Act will have in disenfranchising certain voters, it's a distraction from what our legislature, our Congress should be giving us in the form of laws. You know, we need health care. We need, a clean, safe environment, you know, water, air. You know, we should not be privatizing government services that are intended to promote the public good. And yet these are the things that we're not talking about because we're talking about things like the SAVE Act.
Deb Cronmiller is with the League of Women Voters. We will include the link to their website. Check them out. If you have questions, contact the League of Women Voters. They're wonderful, and they are there for you. Thank you so much, Deb. Really appreciate your time. Stay with us. News coming up next. When we return, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here to talk measles. You're listening to Matinee on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it illegal for a law firm to represent someone the government doesn't like? Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Badgers.
Seats Max, face the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts at a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte has a noontime meeting with President Trump at the White House.
The meeting comes as experts say the Trump administration is emboldening Russia's position in its war with Ukraine. The president has repeatedly criticized NATO, which was formed to counter Soviet aggression during the Cold War. He's accused the alliance of not paying its fair share for military spending, recently saying the United States would not defend members who did not pay. And he's expressed uncertainty that NATO would come to the defense of the U.S. if the country were attacked. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
The European Union is fighting back against President Trump's tariffs. They're raising their own tariffs on American goods, including beef, poultry, bourbon, motorcycles, peanut butter, and jeans. Elon Musk's Doge task force has cut Agriculture Department funding for schools and food banks used to buy food from local farmers. Matt King.